It's summertime, it's hot out, it's miserable, especially if you live in Houston, Texas, like I do. We're going to talk about heat training for running and what that means in terms of summer training and mileage and getting it in, but also what it means to performance. So surviving the heat, but also using it as the poor man's altitude. Today, we dive into heat. Now, there's a lot of physiology that goes behind this. I'm going to simplify this, and I'm also going to bring in a lifetime of experience of spending most of my time running lots and lots of miles in Houston, Texas, which gives me the dual insight of heat plus humidity, which adds its own wrinkle into it. So let's start with some basic physiology. Here's what happens, okay? When your body temperature, your core temperature rises, things don't work as well. We become less efficient. Our muscles don't work as well. The enzymatic reactions don't work as well. Like, fatigue rises quicker. So to deal with that, before we hit kind of a catastrophic core body temperature where our brain literally shuts us down and says, stop recruiting muscle fibers, like we're shutting you down before we get injured, what we do is we try and cool ourselves down. And our mechanism there is diverting some of that blood flow that's to the muscles to deliver oxygen and get rid of byproducts and clear things out and all that stuff. We divert that to cooling things down. So more goes towards the skin to carry some of that heat up to the surface. In normal conditions, we sweat. That sweat evaporates, causes us to kind of get this cool sensation a little bit. It helps us out here. If you're like me and you live in Houston, Texas, that sweat never evaporates because it's humid as hell. That's why the heat and humidity combo impairs performance much more than just dry heat by itself, because it means that core body temperature is going to rise faster. Now, think of it like this, is that you've got this supply of blood that's trying to do things to keep you running fast and having a good time and all that good stuff. And what happens is if you got to divert some of that supply, well, it's less going to the muscles and less clearing things else and less delivery of oxygen and less clearance of CO2. It's almost like altitude. This is why we call it poor man's altitude. Now, altitude, you have the same blood going everywhere, but you have less oxygen getting delivered because of the partial pressure of oxygen. Heat and humidity, it's a little bit different, but this end result is the same because you have less, maybe fewer trucks or trains to get that delivery system going to the muscles. The end result is still less oxygen at the muscles, less clearing out of CO2 and transporting lactate and all of that stuff. So it has an altitude-like effect, which in fact, there's been several studies from cyclists to skiers to runners that show that we get a boost from training in the heat and humidity. What it shows is the research is kind of all over the place and dosage of it, but what it shows is mainly we get a big boost in blood volume, meaning thinking more of that delivery, more freeways we can go down because like we have more volume of blood going there. In altitude, you get a little bit less of a shift in blood volume and more of a shift in red blood cell. Now, some more recent research has shown that even with heat and humidity, we sometimes, perhaps often, get this boost in red blood cell. It's not as much as the altitude, but it still occurs. Again, heat, humidity, blood volume is number one, and then red blood cell is number two. So as we'll get to in a little bit, the heat can be an advantage. It can give you a boost, just like altitude. But just like going to altitude, we have to adjust our training. So how in the world do we do that? A couple of things. First off, is you are going to run slower. Your performance will be impaired. Your perception of effort, which is the main thing that is impacted, will feel harder at the given speed or pace. What that means to me is you really need to dial into how it feels. Okay? We need to almost throw the watch away. Because again, in Houston, Texas, that tempo or threshold run that I can do, could be as much as 20 to 30 seconds slower per mile in good conditions. Like, it's that dramatic of effect on really bad days. So if you're looking down at your watch and saying, normally I do a 4 mile threshold at 6 minute pace and you see 6:20, your brain's already going to freak out. So on workouts especially, but even on easy runs, throw the watch away. Go by feel. Use the talk test. Listen to your perception of effort. Have that guide. And yes, that's going to mean go slower. That's okay. Which is one of the big adjustments. Going slower is fine because physiologically, okay, 7:30 pace in the heat and humidity might equal 7 minute pace or what have you in normal conditions. So going slower is still the same physiological stress, essentially, as going faster. Listen to your body. Number three is be careful about going long. So I talked about the main driver of heat and fatigue is this core body increase, okay? Our brain is predictive, so it doesn't wait until we get to 10 whatever it is until it shuts us down. It does so anticipatorily, meaning we feel an increase in perception of effort as that heat load is increasing, as our core body temperature is increasing, and we start to slow and shut things down. So the danger is the longer you go, the more likely we are, even at a slow, easy pace, to have that core body temperature go up, to feel that fatigue effect, to get that perception of effort. So one of the things we do is we just be careful on the longer stuff. Anything longer than about an hour, I say, okay, this is potentially going into that area, especially in hot, humid conditions, where core body temp is going to start to be a thing, especially if it's more intense, but even if it's slow. So what I say here is most of the time, split your runs up, right? If you had a 90-minute run, go 45 and 45 or 60 and 30. This doubling up, if possible, allows you to A, handle the load a little bit more, better without digging deep into a hole of, you know, core temperature going up, and kind of recover a little bit faster. Now, that doesn't mean throw away the long run. If you're training for a marathon, if you need that cross country base with a long run, keep it there, but understand, like, this is the higher risk run of the week. And maybe you don't do it as often, or maybe you don't push the pace, or maybe you cut it down a little bit, or maybe you have more breaks in there. That's fine. Okay, contrary to what some people think, if you stop, take a water break during your long run, it's not going to ruin the heart adaptations or whatever the old school theory is. You're going to be fine. Okay? You'll be fine. Split it up. Okay? The other thing I would look at is when it comes to workouts, is give yourself an out. Yes, I said give yourself an out. Why? Because what happens is in the heat and humidity, it is easier to dig a hole that is hard to get out of. Meaning, it is harder to bounce back and recover. So if you go all the way into, you know, heat exhaustion or what have you, it takes a really long time and a hard toll on your body to bounce back off of that. It's going to take a while to run hard and race well again, most likely. So what we want to do is we want to avoid digging that hole, which means it is better in the heat and humidity to stop short and give yourself an out versus push through and be that tough guy. I think when we look at workouts, this means designing with more flexibility. If you have to do a workout because you're training for a summer race or you have a fall marathon that requires you doing stuff, make it where there are options. So instead of saying I'm doing a 6 mile tempo run, say, hey, I'm going to spend 35 minutes at, you know, tempo effort, but I get to split it up however I want to. And if I'm not feeling great at 25 or 30 minutes, I get to call it. First you split, then you give the option of calling. It's like escalating that. Also on workouts is break them up. Instead of a 6 mile tempo, you want to do 6 by mile or a fartlek where you're going 10, 8, 6, 5, 4, whatever it is. Split it up however you want till you get to the end of it. But those short breaks allow you to handle the heat load and more so the perception of effort. It doesn't just rise. You get a little bit of a break. And even better if you can, you know, drink some water, throw some water on your face, throw a cold towel on your face, are on your neck, all of those things help, especially with perception of effort. Which brings me to the next point, is we can do things to make it feel a little bit easier. Because if you're accumulating summer mileage, and most of it is easy, a lot of times it's the sensation, the feeling of it that wears on you. The, oh gosh, we're going to go on another hour run and it's going to be slow, but it's still going to feel like death at the end because it's 1,000 degrees with 1,000% humidity. Do things that decrease perception of effort, right? Water on your face, cold rag on the back of your neck, hat, soak it in cold water, put it in the freezer beforehand, like anything that can impact that perception of effort. Plan your routes around cold water. When I was training a lot in Houston on our long runs, we had this golf course water that they put out fresh every day. It was a hole that was right off the road. We knew where it was at mile 10. We ran to that thing and then took a couple minute break where we just downed water and dumped on our head, and it was so cold and it felt good. We planned our stuff around, you know, where we could cool off. The other thing to do to make it a little bit less miserable is at the end of the run, if you have the ability, like jump straight into a pool. If you don't, hop in that cold shower pretty quick. This is one place where I'll say cold showers, go for it. Maybe not freezing because that contrast hits you, but there is nothing like jumping in a cool pool, even a slightly warm pool, after a hot run. It kind of takes away that sting, those doldrums, the this always sucks. It rejuvenates you. Because half the battle when it comes to summer miles isn't the single run or the single long run or the single workout. It's knowing that for months, it's going to kind of suck. That's it. It wears on you. So things that you can do to kind of take that away or at least make it slightly tolerable, the better off it is. That might mean going inside and running on a treadmill or cross training every once in a while. That's totally fine. Whatever allows you to keep that consistency going instead of saying, God, it's awful. I feel miserable every run. Let's hit the eject button. Which gets me to the other point. It's relatively early in the summer, although not in Houston, but some places. Here's the other thing that occurs. Is when you start building up, starting that marathon build, you're starting that cross-country training, you're going from 0 miles break time to whatever high mileage is for you. It feels miserable for a while because your body isn't adjusted. It takes a couple weeks to get the full adjustment. And what that means is that you're going to feel awful and miserable. I used to tell my high school and then college team, cross-country teams in Houston that for a couple weeks, it's going to feel miserable. You're going to go slow as hell. You're going to think I'm out of shape. You're going to think this sucks. What's the point? And then one day you're going to wake up. You're going to go on the same run. It's going to be in the same heat and humidity. You're going to think, yeah, it still kind of sucks, but this isn't that bad. You adapt. It's like this magic moment. If you back off too early, you don't get to the magic moment. So stay consistent. Again, not going over it. You're just doing easy stuff. Until you get to that moment where it's like, okay, this is tolerable. If you can get through that feel like death period, then you're going to be in a better place. The last thing I'll end with is hydration. Everyone knows it's important. The more heat and humid, hot and humid it is, the more you sweat out, all that stuff, you gotta hydrate. Now, there's a lot of talk about, you know, electrolytes, sugar, Gatorades, all that stuff. Here's what I'll say is that, like, A, you want to make sure you're hydrated going in, which mostly means do you drink a lot of water? Okay? The more mileage you spend, the more hot and humid it is. Yes, electrolytes actually do help. They are not the cure-all, the be-all, end-all. No, you don't need them if you're walking around and your only exercise is taking the dog for a walk down the street and back. But if you're putting in serious mileage, yes, they can help, okay? You don't need to go overboard. You don't need to hydrate, you know, every 5 minutes on the run, but they do help. And this is where, again, sugar or carb drinks actually help as well. Those sugar carbs will help with hydration, okay, as well as recovery as well. When you're looking at summer mileage, like, emphasize the recovery, which means hydration, eating well, recovering, refueling afterwards, doing the thing that are mileage dependent. The more time you spend outside, the more you need that. When I was running 100 plus miles a week in Houston, Texas, I downed the Gatorades of the time after almost every run because I was running a ton and I needed to hydrate. If you're only running 20 miles a week, you don't need that. Your preference during the run is up to you. Do you need hydration if you're going into it well hydrated for a 30-minute run, for a 45-minute run? No, you don't need it, technically. You don't, even in hot, humid conditions. You don't, if you're hydrated going in. But if it makes you feel better, if it makes you have the perception of effort, then go for it. No one's going to harm you for that. Like, do what makes you feel good. So there you go. Be careful about digging a hole. You get the poor man's altitude effect. Just don't dig a huge hole where you can't adapt to it. Keep it easy. Go by feel. Cardiac drift is going to occur. I didn't mention that this time, but cardiac drift, your heart rate will drift up. One of the things people ask me all the time is, should I go by heart rate? It depends on your situation. Houston, Texas, humidity. Heart rate drift goes so high up some runs that I'd be running like 10-minute pace when I'm normally running 7-minute pace. Should I listen to that? Probably not. I'm okay running 8-minute pace or whatever it is, even if my heart rate drifts up. It's just so freaking humid. Can't do anything about it. So it can be a guide, just like feeling, but you don't have to be a slave to the heart rate, especially in high humid conditions, okay? Listen to your body. Weigh all of the instincts and instructions, okay? This is also why you, to a degree, on your harder workouts, like, you don't pay attention to the pace or intensity zones or the heart rate zones, even for threshold or what have you, or even, like, lactate gets thrown all over the place because of the heat and humidity. So you've just got to know things are going to be a little wonky and a little bit slower, and that's okay. Listen to your body. Go by feel. If it feels okay, like, check in 20 minutes later and say, does this still feel okay? And be careful on pushing the bounds of it. You do that, you're going to be in a great place come the fall. And the last thing I'll say is, when you get that first cool day, schedule a hard workout. Because you're going to see a boost in performance, your tempos, your thresholds, your mile repeats, whatever the longer workout is, preferably, is going to drop instantly because you're finally going to feel good. And that's going to give you a lot of confidence of, oh, I guess I was adapting to the training in the summer, even though it felt god-awful and miserable. Till next time, everyone, subscribe, like, share, you know, check out the guides. All of that stuff, support my work. I appreciate you. We'll keep these coming.